Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean to see God? I mean, have you ever seen God? It's a funny phrase, don't you think? Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I'm going to ask you to ask yourself that question as we go through this message. I'm going to ask you a couple of times, do you want to see God? You see, the human mind is actually incapable of comprehending God. The human form is actually incapable of seeing God. You thought about it? God is spirit. God has no physical form. So how can you see God? An anthropomorphism is the process of attributing human attributes to God. See, he has no human attributes. So therefore, how can you see him? How can you touch him? How can you feel him? And so God, for our benefit, it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit that he leads the writers of Scripture to talk about the hands of God, the arms of God, the mind of God, all these human traits, all these human things. Can God physically touch you? Can you physically touch God? And so when he touches us, he's touching us spiritually. And when we say we can see God, Jesus says, you will see God. Does he mean with your own eyes you will see God? Think about it. Moses, Jacob, Elizabeth, these people say they saw God. And they were so convinced by this presence that was with them that they said, I'm still alive. How could I still be alive and see God? Like, how could you be alive after seeing God? Is it possible? How could you be in that sort of power and survive? Did they see God? What did they see? Well, we know that God is spirit. That's what John tells us. God is spirit. And so, did they see God? No, they saw what was a cloaked image of God, a deliberately dumbed down version, a humanized version of God, so we could behold him. Was Jesus, when he came for his 33 years of ministry in all his glory? Oh, so far from it. He was so human that the Pharisees and many people rejected his deity. If he had come in all of his glory, do you think they would have been able to kill him? Do you think they would have even accused him of being anything but God? No. So God is comfortable reducing himself down to human attributes, human form. For whose benefit? For our benefit. For our benefit. And Jesus says here, if you're pure in heart, you can see God. But only the pure in heart will see God. What does he mean, see God? It's a funny phrase. See God, but what it actually means when you look into the Greek, what it simply means is you will see God's glory. His glory. When you think to yourself, well, why don't you just jolly well say that? Why don't you just say the pure in heart will see God's glory? Has anyone read Genesis? Genesis 1 says that in the beginning, there was nothing. Just nothing. And then God began to speak. I don't know if you've ever tried to get your head around this. God spoke and material formed, matter formed from words, from a spirit. Everything that we know, everything that we see, everything that we comprehend came because he spoke for 6 days and everything formed. I would say creation is pretty glorious, wouldn't you? In fact, Romans 1 says, creation is so glorious. When we look out the window and we have a look around us, it says we're all beyond excuse because God's glory is seen in creation itself. Nobody has a reason to say there is no God because nature represents his glory. Anyone seen the birth of a new baby? Man, that is a miracle, right? I mean, there's nothing like it. God's glory is seen in the perpetuation of life. Anybody ever fallen in love? That's one of the attributes of God. You can't touch it. You can't hold it. But you know when you're in love. That's a small representation of God. That's a experience of God in love. Anyone ever planted a little seed and you come back 4 weeks later and if you're lucky, there's something green shooting out of the ground? God's glory is seen in that. Anyone ever gone out at night and looked at the stars and ever wondered, how do those little blighters stay up there? Did you know that we are spinning around the sun at 100,000 kilometers an hour? And if we come off that trajectory, we're in real trouble. But he just holds it all in place. Through all of creation, we see God's immense glory. So why doesn't the scripture just say, the pure in heart will see his glory? You thought about it? Because unlike nature and the generic display of his glory, face-to-face is representational. Face-to-face is personal. Face-to-face is intimate. The pure in heart can know God intimately. Not just generically, not just theoretically. And that's the point of these human attributes. He takes what can be just nothing more than a theoretical faith and makes it practical. You can see God. You want to see God? Because it's an awkward question. Do you want to see God? Do you want to see his glory? I mean, do you want to see it? Well, can you see it? Because Jesus has told us how you can see it. The question is, do you want to see him personally and powerfully in your own life? Do you realize if you actually stood before God, I mean, it's really hard to comprehend, but try it. If you actually stood before God, you would know what breathlessness means. You would know what it means to be speechless. And by that I mean unable to speak. If you saw his glory personally, do you think you could utter a word? A mere breath would be a disruption from his glory, his majesty. Your heart would be pounding so much within, you'd be afraid it's going to burst. You'd want to run, but where could you hide? You'd want to cover your eyes, but what a waste. How could you dare look away from that majesty? And Jesus says, you can see God. See his glory personally, privately, intimately. Would you want to be in that power? Could you imagine what it'd be like to be in his glory? A light so blinding, yet you're not damaged by it. A heat so radiant, yet you're not consumed by it. This is incomprehensible God saying, you can know me personally. You can experience me personally. Do you want to? Are you happy with a theoretical God? Are you happy with religion that sits in a book and you read it when you need comfort or a pat on the back or a kick up the bum? Do you want to know him intimately, personally, more than you do? Oh, I'm a Christian, brother. Whoop-de-doo, so am I. The question here is, do you want to know him more? Do you want to be so close that you actually feel like Moses who says, I saw God. I came so close that I swear I saw God and I'm not burnt up. Jesus is trying to tell you that these few instances in the Old Testament where people swear they were before God are not isolated to them. They're meant to be for you and for me. We're meant to know him intimately. And if you only know him theoretically, I got some great news. He wants more. Do you? You ever been in love with someone that just doesn't love you back? Huh? Says every teenager in the world. Do you know he has so much love towards us, so much passion towards us that he sent Jesus to die for us? And if you don't get it, you just have this theoretical 2,000-year-old event. Listen, it's for today. You're meant to be close to him today, and you can be closer to him today than you were yesterday. There is meant to be this ongoing closeness and closeness, and you should get to a point in your Christian walk where you say, I have seen him. I swear with my own eyes, I saw him. Do you want it? Do you want it? Because I want to tell you, being face to face with God would be confrontational at a whole new level. Which is why the few accounts that we see in the Old Testament, they are surprised that they're still alive. Because one of the things about being close to God will happen is that you are confronted with whom you are, who you have become. So Jesus says here, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for you'll see God. What does pure in heart mean? Let's start with the word pure. When we talk about pure, we try and define things by what they are. We say pure is white, pure is clear, pure is clean, right? Isn't that how we try and define a word like pure? Well, Nelson's dictionary says purity is the absence of contaminants. You see, purity is not defined by what it is. Purity is defined by what it is not. So when we're told to be pure in heart, our heart is to be free of contaminants. Purity in heart is not about more church attendance, more Bible reading, more speaking in tongues, more praying for each other, more attending meetings. It's not more, it's less. Hallelujah, says all the busy people. Less. It's being conscious to remove the contaminants in your life. You know when these old fossickers, they pull up a big rock and sort of looks like gold. Well, first of all, there's contaminants on the outside. It's covered in dirt and muck, right? Wash it off. Is it pure gold? Why is it not pure gold? Because there are contaminants in the material. It has been formed with contaminants in it. And so you have to apply heat in order to remove the contaminants. And as the heat gets applied, the dross comes up and you scrape it off. And then you add more heat, and more dross comes off and you scrape it off. And this process of heating and dross removing goes on until you have pure gold. Our relationship with God is meant to be as pure as that gold. But we refuse to come under the heat of the Holy Spirit. And we refuse to remove the dross when it comes to the surface. We just wait for things to cool down and the dross settles back into the mix. Anyone uncomfortable? Good. Not just me. If you want to see God, Jesus has given us the formula. Purify your heart. And the heart, of course, is not the pumping organ that throws blood around your body. It's the core of who you are. It's the very person that you are. You chop off your limb and you don't change who you are. That's who you are. It's not the physical you, it's the deep spiritual you. It's your soul. Purify your soul and you will see God. You will see His glory in your life. Do you want to see it? Are you prepared to purify your life to see God? You see, I don't mean to be offensive, but it's probably going to happen. If you're a Christian and you don't want to see God, there's something wrong. Sorry. If you call yourself a Christian and the idea of seeing God is unwelcoming, you need to fix it up today because something has gone horribly wrong. I think if that's you in the room, you need to get a revelation of His love because what you're seeing is just representation of judgment and not love. I mean, He's just. He's not throwing away His justice, but His love is greater than His judgment. The judgment of your sin has been dealt with by Jesus. Now He just wants you to love Him, to know Him, and to be loved and known by Him. Do you want to see God in your life? Do you want to see His glory in and coming out of your life? You can. No, you don't know my past, brother. I don't care about your past. I don't need to know about your past. Nobody needs to know about your past. You just need to have a confidence in your future that if you give your life to God wholeheartedly, commit to purity of heart, you will see God. You see, Jesus said, blessed are you if you're pure in heart, for you'll see God. Jesus had a full expectation that this would be a motivational thought. That anybody with half a brain would want to see God. I think there's a sickness in Christianity where we've become so complacent with the muck in our lives, that's just how it is. Imagine this. Imagine if you made a commitment today. I'm not suggesting you should. But imagine if today you said, I'm going to flick off that screen, whatever that screen might be. This is just one simple example. I'm going to flick off the screen for 2 hours if I hear somebody swear. If someone said a rude joke, made a sexual reference, here's a good one. How about you switch it off for 4 hours if someone uses the Lord's name in vain? You wouldn't get a lot of screen time, would you? On, oh, again, off. 4 hours later, on. You'd be lucky if you went 2 minutes without one of those offensive things happening. We've become so complacent to the filth around us that we accept it as part of us. We figure we have to blend. We have to have a certain amount of impurity in order to blend. We have accepted a pathetic level. It's normal for Christians to swear, to get drunk, and to tell rude jokes. Depends if you want to see God, whether you take the matter seriously, I think. I think we have a wrong view. I think it needs to be remedied. We have a wrong view that God wanting to be close to us should be so terrifying. We're not Old Testament Jews here, we're New Testament believers who understand that God is love now. His judgment is balanced with His love. His intolerance to our sin is balanced with His mercy. And if you want to know God intimately, if you want to be personally so relatable to Him and Him to you that you could say, I swear I saw God. I swear I was in my prayer closet and He spoke to me. I swear I heard His voice audibly. Well, you need to be pure in heart. Do you want to see God? Well, if you purify yourself, you will see God. And we so readily run to things like behaviors. But did you notice that Jesus said, blessed are you who are pure in behavior because you'll see God? And mine says, blessed are you who are pure in heart. And it's the issues of our heart that are so problematic. These might be a helpful little list of things that we could probably deal with. Just a few. Because Proverbs 4:23 says, you've got to look after your heart because everything comes out of it. Your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others are all putrefied if you don't guard your heart. And do it diligently. Not just when you feel like it, not when it's convenient. When you see that junk come on the TV, don't go, next time. Next time they swear, I'll turn it off. All right, I'll count to three. All right, I'll count to 33. Just be diligent about it. Get rid of it. Stop letting that rubbish affect your life. Get it out of your life. You've got to be diligent to get rid of it. Psalm 101 verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. To the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. You know, God has very little patience for our pride. We've got a high tolerance for it, don't we? We can excuse it so quickly. Pride. Deal with the pride in your life. It is putrefying your heart. It is putrefying your world. It is wrecking your relationships. Deal with the pride in your life. Proverbs 21 verse 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness. Ready, men? Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Hallelujah! Proverbs 29 says, an angry man stirs up strife and a furious man abounds in transgression. Do you know anger is a problem for you? Huge problem for me. You'd think after all these years I would have dealt with my anger issues. And it's wrecking my spirit. It wrecks my time with God. It wrecks my time with my family. It wrecks my time with you. It wrecks my time with them. Because all the while, instead of just showing them love, what chance have I got of seeing God and surviving if I've got this anger in my heart? I've got to deal with it. Proverbs 11:16 says, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lusts. Lust, just so you know, the word lust simply means an overwhelming desire to have. So we always think the word lust means sexual. But in Scripture, when it's talking about sexual lust, it's actually quite deliberate to say sexual lust. Lust is to want something, to focus on something that you shouldn't have. And it disguises itself in envy and jealousy and anger. Lust is a problem for the human character, for human nature, for human life. We want things that we should not have. James 1:22-24, but be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. There's a mirror. Hey, handsome. And I walk away and I forget what I look like. you think, what a knuckle, this bloke's a knucklehead, wouldn't you? If you literally walked in the mirror and went, hey, and then I walk away, think I look like Brad Pitt, I'm completely deluded. So what it says here is I'm deceiving myself. So what we rather do is we just don't look in the mirror, and I continue to tell myself I look like Brad Pitt. It's why we don't read the Bible much. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets. The duplicity in our life is destroying us. That double-mindedness is wrecking us. It wrecks all the fruit that we hope to produce in our life. One more, just for laughs, good measure and all that. Matthew chapter 6 says, hold on to your seats, here we go. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay, hang on, here it comes. Oh, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. I've never liked this verse. I don't think I ever will like this verse. Because once again, oh, holy Phil is dealing with unforgiveness and anger to these men down the road. Where does that leave my relationship with God? Oh, God, I want to see you. Well, you better go and forgive those blokes. No way, man. After I've seen you and I'm holy and wonderful, then I'll go and forgive them. No, you'll forgive them or I'll not forgive you. Then you might be able to stand in my presence. Then you might be able to hear what I've got to say. Then you might be able to see a little bit more of my unveiled glory. So if I ask you, do you want to see God? It's pretty simple. It's either a yes or a no. Now, if you're not a Christian in the room, it's understandable that you wouldn't want to see God. Because if you've had the slightest understanding of the power of God, a God who could speak words and all of a sudden matter forms, you've got to be saying, oh, I'm definitely not ready to meet that bloke. I'm definitely not ready to see God. Well, the great news is you can know that God. Because your sins are already paid for, you just haven't received the payment. You have already been forgiven, you just haven't received forgiveness. The chains have already been broken off, the shackles are gone, the door is open, but you're still sitting in a prison. And that's your choice. If you want to stay there, you stay there. But if you want to know freedom, if you want to know life, if you want to know forgiveness, if you want to know mercy, if you want to know grace, if you want to know love, you just turn to Him and you say, God, here's my life. As messed up as it is, it's yours. If you can forgive me, I'll accept it. If you can love me, I'll take it all. So if you're not a Christian in the room, it's a simple prayer. We don't do religion here. We just do relationship. It's a relationship with each other. It's a relationship with God. If you like religion, you probably better find another church. We want relationship, genuine, sincere relationship with each other and with God. And that's what Jesus came to give us. He came to deal with the unhelpfulness of religion and bring in relationship. That's why we understood when Jesus came, God is love. God is love. Do you mean He's not rules and regulations and testament and killing animals and stoning people? No. No, that was there so you would understand that He is a just God. But His love is so much greater. And you can know His love and His forgiveness for yourself. If your answer is no, I don't want to see God and you're a Christian. I said before, you're in trouble. I don't say that as a threat. I say it as a loving warning. You're in trouble. You should want to see God, see more of His glory. Not just see it externally, but to be confronted by His glory and be amazed. Oh, I swear I heard from Him. I swear I saw Him. I swear He's walking with me through this valley of the shadow of death. I swear it. You should want to be closer to God. If you do want to be closer to God, if you want to see Him face to face, like really see glory, more than you've ever seen, you can. You've got to make a choice today. I'm going to purify my heart. I'm going to commit today to get that one thing out of my life. And try and deal with it all, you will just fall over. Because if, like me, you've got more than one problem in your life that you should have dealt with years ago, but you become so comfortable with it in your life, you're happy with the impurities. You've excused the impurities. And the Holy Spirit's saying today, if you want to see more, you've got to deal with the impurities.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.